You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Wreck, Weebum, featuring XV.
And this is Radio Free Cybertron. I am a very blurry Brian Kilby. And let me see if I can fix that. That's a little better. It's my profile.
Right
though.
Now, you can't resist.
Can't resist the profile.
Must fix.
So, Brian Kilby, with me I have J.D. Church, John DeLuna, and Bweebum, a.k.a. Peter. Hey guys, how's it going?
What up?
So, this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. We've been around since 1999, we got it going on, so we're pretty cool. Hey, actually, if you're watching us on YouTube, why don't you go ahead and click up there? I'm going to point up, right about here, and subscribe to the video. So do that. That would be awesome.
It is awesome.
We promise.
Yeah.
So, lots of stuff going on in this. Yeah.
Some things. There's things happening. It's a week.
Yes. Yes.
It's
time has marched on.
There's stuff going on. It may not be the most...
Post-movie release, pre-Comic-Con, we're suffering over at Fanboy Versus as well. Don't worry.
This is the afterglow. This is the walk of shame after the movie.
I'm just having a vision of, like, someone, laying the sheet over them, smoking a cigarette. No? Not like that?
Crying, maybe.
Just a little... I don't think that's the reaction you're supposed to have.
No.
Less self-hate.
Right. Why have I done this? Sorry, Brian.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm trying to get my video to work. So.
We're rambling on while Brian's not talking.
Which is dangerous. Which is completely inconsequential to the podcast listeners, but I want to get my video on.
Right. Brian's like, bring the video!
That reminds me, hey, off topic, did anybody get their free Slurpee on 7-Eleven?
I don't have a 7-Eleven.
No, why?
Don't have a 7-Eleven?
They gave out free Slurpees on 7-Eleven.
Really?
Yes.
Just for, like, giggles?
It was their birthday, and it was 7-Eleven.
Wow.
Oh.
Man. Cool. See, people in the chat, man. They did it.
I didn't know, man. I
did not get the memo.
My nearest 7-Eleven is, and 3 hours away.
Something...
It's like halfway to
there
DC.
You can't spit without hitting a 7-Eleven here.
I can't find any, so.
Well, they started here in Dallas, so.
Oh, did they really? That's probably why there's a lot down here, because.
Yeah.
We love stuff from Texas, even though we hate Texas, so.
Yes.
Here in Oklahoma.
It's complicated.
Fantastic.
It is. It's a love-hate relationship we have. We look at things in Texas, and we like, that's amazing. We hate them, but we're going to put that in our city, because we have no identity.
We'll take one.
Let's take one. Okay. Great. I'm glad to hear that. So let's go ahead and talk about some Transformers stuff.
Transformers.
So Dark of the Moon, which is still in theaters, and it's, it's making so much money.
It's in the Oodles range, isn't it? I think it's up to Oodles.
It's in Oodles. It's in Oodles and Oodles.
Oodles and Doodles and Scoodles.
So it's going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray November 15th.
Download it now, kids. I mean,
pre-order, yes. And it will be on Netflix streaming in 2045.
Yep.
So. Yeah. But, that's great news.
That's happening.
Yeah, right. I now know what day I need to not be at work so that I can sit at home and watch.
Whatever. You know what I'm doing? That's like right before Black Friday. So wait for that. That is bound to be on a Black Friday special at Best Buy.
That's true. Actually, I think I would rather just watch Revenge of the Fallen, mostly for
Give me your faith.
That so much.
I've never said that in this movie. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Although he did a lot of mutilating.
He did plenty of mutilation.
Yeah. It's kind of unspoken.
Mutilation galore.
Let's find out.
So, actually, and I can't get video up right now. It's unfortunate. I can try. Let me do this. Because I really want to show this off, because this is awesome. My favorite news item, I think, all week is the Transformers Nerf and Strike Special Edition.
It is freaking kind of awesome.
I want this bad. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I didn't read it, so I don't know what the point of it is, but the point is it's awesome. Oh, it's San Diego Comic-Con.
It's $25 at Hasbro Toy Shop.
Right now?
It's $25 at Hasbro Toy Shop.
So they have it now?
I don't know. It says it's going to be.
Awesome.
Let's see if it's there.
Well, heck, actually, if you want to go ahead and go to Groupon, you can go and get $30 worth of credit there.
Pay
for 15 bucks.
Get 30, then get this. That's win.
Yes, buy that. Buy that from me. If you love me, buy that for me. I can be reached at 1-800-RADIO-FREE-CYBERTRON, BrianKilby.com, or not. Okay, so I don't know. I don't ask for stuff. I just start asking for stuff.
We don't ask for stuff.
I should be like one of those podcasters that just like, hey, you know, buy a producer spot.
Yeah. Buy an assistant producer title.
Peter looks so depressed, like he's going to kill himself or something.
He's really...
Something was playing in the browser. Find that. So all I kept hearing was the Captain America ad over and over again.
There are worse things to hear. There are worse things.
Well, no, it's just... I couldn't find it for like 10 minutes. My head was just going to explode. I just didn't... And it would just keep going louder and louder every ad that it went through. So my head was... I was going to die. I was really going to just kill myself.
That's unfortunate. I was going to make an inappropriate comment, but I'm glad I didn't.
Don't recommend that.
As long as it's on air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would have been... I would have blessed. I would have just gotten up.
Well, yeah, but, you know, for the show, man. For the show.
So, yeah, also in the news, let's see here. Did this make it on T-Formers, Peter, the Rescue Bots? They are out.
They are out?
Yeah, where are they out again?
They are out in Australia? I believe, yeah.
They get all the stuff first now.
That's awesome.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I didn't. I haven't heard anything about this, no.
Yeah, I heard something about it a couple of days ago. Let's see, here it is.
There they are. They're on Hasbro Toy Shop.
Hasbro Toy Shop. It's
out of stock, but they're there.
Yeah, Rescue Bots out in Australia and HTS. So, I want them. I want those. I'm a man enough. I'm man enough to admit that I want those. Those are
you're secure enough in your adulthood.
Yeah, God, I'm on a freaking Transformers podcast, for God's sakes.
This is true. As McFeely said, these Transformers won't play with themselves.
Exactly.
But, he was chiding me for watching Power Rangers. But anyway.
Just saying, huh?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Not saying. I'm just saying.
So also, looks like that we are going to get a repaint of frickin' Top Spin.
Now, they're saying this might be packaged with a deluxe Leadfoot. Yes.
It will be. If this is Top Spin, then it will be packaged with deluxe Leadfoot.
So I'll have Top Spin, Leadfoot, Twin Twist, and then the Twin Twist.
So is it going to be Twin Twist, or is it Top Spin? I mean, it's still the Lowe's car.
It's the Top Spin mold, but it's going to be Twin Twist, I think is the name. Because it's white. I mean, it's obviously...
Whoa.
I want it. My God, how many times is Hasbro going to make me buy this freaking toy?
As many as it takes.
It's totally not fair.
Hand over your money.
It's a decent figure, though.
It's not bad.
It's kind of grown on me.
I don't care much for the figure, but I kind of have to have it for obvious reasons.
Well, you don't have to. You feel obligated. That's a different thing.
Yeah, I am obligated into it. So, how much has Dark of the Moon made now? It's some ridiculous, like $650 million worldwide.
Yeah, usually it's first to that, fastest to what, the half a billion mark, I think.
it's up there. So I don't I anticipate that it will be toppled this week. I don't think it'll win the weekend. I think Harry Potter will probably win the weekend. I don't think Harry Potter is going to do better.
For the weekend. Okay.
Harry Potter will win the weekend, but I don't think is going to overcome the amount of money the Transformers.
Go ahead.
Warner Brothers actually announced today that it has made already $32 million in advance ticket sales.
That's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of my friends here that were bitching that they can't get advance tickets. Like, they've already sold out for, like, the, I guess, tomorrow night. So, and I know that Dark of the Moon didn't sell out here until the day of for the 9 o'clock showing. That didn't sell out the same
day.
Nobody
knew about the 9 o'clock showing, truth be told.
Well, the 9 o'clock was sold out same day. The midnight was not. The midnight didn't sell out until later. But then there ended up being a ton of people there for the midnight. So I think the thing in terms of longevity, though, is that the big draw for Dark of the Moon is the 3D. And I don't think that'll be as big of a draw for Harry Potter. So I think that eventually, I don't think that Harry Potter will keep up just because... In terms of the gross sales, I think the 3D showings will win out.
You think so?
I think so.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Harry Potter has a bigger following in, you know, England.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking
good in itself, but,
yeah.
I think
it's got a lot of hype. I don't know. I think that Harry Potter has waned somewhat.
95% so far.
Yeah, it's doing really well on Rotten Tomatoes.
Doing really well. It's a 95. It already has a consensus 95.
Which honestly, I think a little bit of this is probably like the effect that Return of the King got, where they changing Skype there. Sorry, people. Where Return of the King kind of got overpraised because of it capped off the Lord of the Rings trilogy, because it was really the weakest of the three, far and away. But because it won the Academy Award, undeservingly, by the way, for what it did. I think Harry Potter, you know, being like the most successful film franchise in history, probably it's getting it's probably a little bit inflated. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But
how do you rate it as the most successful, though?
By like dollars, that? Figures.
Yeah, but there's eight movies in the run. Of course it is. Other than like Rocky and
Rocky is six.
And Alien versus Predator combination series, how many movies have that many movies here?
Not that many. James Bond.
So
James Bond's like close to 30. Star Trek is at 11.
Yeah, but that's kind of broken up between two series and, you know. I don't know. I think it's kind of apples and oranges, because this is meant to be a continuous series, and it's based on a popular book, whereas the others were independent films one after the other. And there's a lot, and like I said, there's eight of these movies that have come out in fairly rapid succession.
Maybe.
I don't mean to poo-poo it. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just kind of saying I think it's kind of unfair to call it the most successful just based on dollars for the, you know, considering all film series. Star Wars is much better.
No,
the original.
Okay.
First trilogy.
With that caveat. I'll take that, yeah.
The first trilogy of the Star Wars films, which are films, purely films.
Purely, yeah, exactly.
Is better.
So, let's see here. What else is going on? Auto Assembly is coming up in a few weeks. I was gonna ask if anyone was going, but no one on this show is going, I don't think.
No one on this show is going.
Amy went last year. I don't think she's going this year.
No. McFeely's going.
Of course. I doubt there are many UK fans who don't go to Auto Assembly.
Yeah, I'm sure they find a way.
It would be really hard if I lived in the UK and there's a Transformers convention.
I'm thinking about getting a rowboat and just seeing if I can.
Yeah.
Better start now.
I know. I need to start rowing.
So there you go. And last in the news, John Barber is the new senior editor at IDW. Yay. Congratulations.
Yeah, good stuff. I think there's a lot of people that are really excited about it. A lot of the comic book writers and stuff that I follow have all been commenting on that as well. So I think that's going to be a good thing for them.
Think so? What say you, JD? Like, how was he when during his time at Marvel?
He was at Marvel.
He used to be.
Sure.
That was at least his credits. That said, it's.
I think that was before my time, but
Oh, you think so? I didn't know how long ago it was.
I don't know how long ago it was. I mean, everybody that's in the know on this, you know, all the people whose opinions I would trust on this, are really excited about it. So, you know, I'll defer to their opinion and say that this is a good thing. So, and that, you know, that not only is that like comic book fans and stuff that I know, but that's creators and stuff as well. So, I mean, you know, a lot of the creators and stuff that I follow have been talking about, you know, how cool he is and congratulating him and stuff. That's a good sign to me. So I think this will be a good thing for IDW. I hope that, maybe it'll turn around some of their titles.
Yeah, maybe. Let's hope so. Okay, so let's go ahead and, actually, Amy's not around. She wanted me to say that Transformers Ongoing 22, written by James Roberts and drawn by Alex Milne and colored by Joanna LaFuente, is out today.
Yeah.
So yep. I haven't read it, so I can't review it. So let's go ahead and just let people know that that's coming out. Go to your comic shop.
Some people didn't get it today. Apparently there was like a shipping kerfuffle.
Really?
Some people, yeah. So you have to really, so, you know, they were saying to check earlier today, so might have to go back tomorrow or check. I think the Diamond had, there was some distribution problem between IDW and Diamond and then getting it to stores. So your store may not have gotten it this week, and I don't know how long that delay will be. Usually Diamond will do like a backup shipping if it's their fault. If not, then you may have to wait a week. I don't know. Yeah. I know when they screwed up something last, like a couple weeks ago at my shop, they had it by Friday. When they screwed up that Birds of Prey shipping a couple weeks ago, it took like 3 weeks. So,
okay. Yeah. So, hey, John, what's going on in the chat this week?
You know, we're talking about some random stuff. When you showed the new Top Spin or the latest Top Spin, I think everybody unanimously approved of that toy. It's a great toy, right? I mean, it's, I don't know. It's a wrecker. Everybody loves the wreckers. Are there any, actually, that brings up a question. Are there any wreckers designs that you don't like from this movie?
No.
Or are they all pretty solid?
No, I mean, so far, I mean, for the ones that I have anyway, I mean, I have Roadbuster and I have Topspin. I mean, they're not, I don't want to say they're like blow me away amazing. They're cool. They're not, you know, definitely they're added to by just the coolness factor of the characters, you know, because they're so cool in the movie.
Yeah, so they were fun. They were well done.
So that adds a lot of value for me to them. You know, Topspin, I mean, that the mold is not the most stable. I like the Roadbuster, though. He's kind of nifty. Very solid vehicle mode, which is, I guess that's kind of a standard with the movie figures, but this one even more so.
Okay, like, so Barricade in the chat says Leadfoot's too short, stout, and fat.
I like that.
Hey, that's what's wrong with that?
Hey, I'm, well, I'm not too short, but I am fat and stout, probably. But
I did like that each, regardless of the fact that all of them are Impalas, they were able to transform them in different ways so they all look different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, especially that. I really love the vehicle mode on Topspin. I mean, with all the little, the stuff sticking out and all the guns. 4 detachable guns? Come on. That's badass.
Win.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not as impressed with, I like Topspin's mech tech weapon better because it's like the claw thing, so it makes sense for it to open and close. I like the idea of the chainsaw on Roadbuster, but I had it with Thundercracker already. If it would stay open, that would be really awesome, but otherwise it's okay. So, but I like how the little buttons on Roadbuster like go back in. They like, you know, they'll, when you don't have the mech tech weapon in, it like makes it flush again with the vehicle. No? Okay.
Yeah. Having some technical issues for people watching the video. Skype is farting.
You know what? I know it probably helps that they were Autobots, so they got a little bit more time, but I kind of wish, like, more factions, the few factions that we had, maybe sub-factions, whatever, in the trilogy got the kind of treatment or the kind of face time that the Wreckers did, because they really did come off as kind of, a sub-team. Everybody got that. They were well-characterized. It wasn't like the Constructicons, which were essentially, like, one action sequence, and did any of them say a word? I can't remember. I think maybe in the fight with Bumblebee, a couple words.
The which ones? The Insecticon ones?
The Constructicons.
Oh, yeah. You mean like in the first, like in Revenge of the Fallen?
Yeah, and like Revenge of the Fallen, you know, I mean, they didn't get that kind of treatment.
No, so. It would have been, what I would have liked out of this movie was to have seen more time with like the SUV triplets.
Yeah, the Dreads, yeah.
Yeah. They deserve more FaceTime, and I want more cars that turn into animals.
Yes.
Where's my figure for that, by the way? I want.
You'll probably get some, maybe.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think with them, those effects were really good, though.
Yeah.
So hopefully, more of those get more.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and jump to the Wiki Spotlight, and after that, we'll be back with This Week in History. So we'll be back in just a second.
It is time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight. As per usual, we have Chris McFeely here to give us the scoop on stuff in the wiki. What you got, sir?
I'm going for a very quick one this week, JD. The Wiki Spotlight for this week is Jesse Hyman, JesseHyman. Now, if you know that name, why? And if you don't know that name, yeah, you're probably doing all right. But I'm not going to tell you who and what he is right now, save to say he was in Dark of the Moon. Now, if you know who he is, you might have spotted him, or you may not have spotted him. So this may be your test for the next time you go to see Dark of the Moon, is to try and find him. And it's entirely possible you may have spotted him, but didn't know who he is. Can I say anything more than that? No, I don't want to give it away here. Just go check out the article. Find who this guy is, learn where you can spot him, and then go see Dark of the Moon again and see if you can. Jesse Hyman, this week's TF Wiki Spotlight, because I'm feeling weird and different.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Hey guys, it's Rob with Twitter Theater. Pardon me, I got a bit of a sore throat this week. This week, with Headmasters coming on an official DVD release, I decided to, do something with Headmasters as a series I've always kind of liked quite a bit. One thing, we've talked about the RTM1 dubs and sort of the weirdness of the Japanese series, but one of the things about Headmasters that's always drawn my attention, and it's what I chose for Twitter Theater this week, if you missed it on the Twitter feed, it was TFvideo.net. You can check it out there, or just look at TFradio.net and check out the video link, and you'll see it. And it's the ending credits for Headmasters, which is really weird. Usually ending credits for the cartoons has been just random clips of either stock footage or whatever, scenes from the cartoon or whatever, with an instrumental version of the theme song. Headmasters kind of started out something they did with the Japanese series being its own little unique ending sequence. And with Headmasters, you get like a sort of a blue screen with an Autobot symbol. And it's kind of a peppy little song where the guy's like, 3-2-1-0! And, it's exciting, I suppose. What makes it weird is Spike and Daniel do strange things to each other during the credits. One of the four headmasters, the main headmasters, they don't count Max or the Decepticons or anything. And they'll show, Cromdone is there and he transforms. And then Spike and Daniel, stand next to each other and one will hop on the other and drive off. I guess Daniel's Spike's headmaster, which is kind of gross considering that's his son. of all the weird things is I believe it's Chrome Dome. I just woke up, so the names are escaping me at the moment. The jet dude. Daniel very bizarrely hops on Spike's back, and Spike spreads his arms and flies off while Daniel disturbingly mounts him. And then there's where Daniel hops up on Spike's finger and spins, and they like, and they fly off. You know, I know it's in all innocence and all that, but it's just a really weird outro segment. I mean, could you imagine if Prime, which is ending credits, is just text with the theme playing? Could you imagine if it's like Raph and Jack and Miko doing things like, you know, Raph hops on Jack and he drives away, or Raph, that'd probably be the most useful thing Raph's done in the entire series. You know, like, hey, there's RC and Miko starts spinning on Raph's finger and both of them go away. Like, they just fly away. And Raph could come back, but hopefully that'd be the last we saw of Miko. You know, you don't really see that. And you don't think of it because, you know, like, a show like Prime, super serious, and Headmasters was, I guess it was pretty serious. It wasn't really too silly. And, you know, I had this silly ending segment. You know, like, which is kind of funny. Headmaster's RC is like the Autobot's nursemaid. She just kind of hangs out and takes care of Daniel and makes some cakes. While Prime RC is like got a chip on her shoulder and gonna kick everyone's butt. You know, maybe, like, they could do a hybrid of, with the Prime kids mimicking the Headmasters. You know, hops on his finger, flies away. Someone hops on someone's back and flies away. For Hardhead, Miko could die. I don't like Miko. That's, like, the only human kid in Transformers has ever disliked is Miko. Yeah. But, yeah, that Headmasters did that, and that's kind of a start, because, you know, for Master Force, they did just sort of a neat little animation, and it is what it is. And Victory had this strange little, like, it was like this song, it was like, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot, and little chibi, kind of the cast conga line pass, and the lyrics are actually kind of weird. I don't recall the Beast series endings. Anyway. Well, that was Twitter Theater this week. I'm Rob. Check us out next week, and back to the game. My throat hurts. Bye.
It's Fortress Maximus.
Fortress Maximus!
The colossal Headmaster Autobot City.
Look! The Terracons are attacking!
Transform Fortress Maximus!
Headmaster Transformers!
From city to battle station! Terracons form the bombers and destroy Fortress Maximus!
But Fortress Maximus transforms again, this time into a robot so humongous a separate robot becomes its head.
The power's awesome!
Transformers!
From Hasbro.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
And we are back, and the technical difficulties have been averted.
Yay!
So awesome. Mm-hmm. Fantastic, even. So, hey, JD, what's going on this week in history?
This week in history, 10 freaking years ago, if you can believe it, BotCon 2001 opened in Durham, North Carolina. Yours truly was there for my one and only BotCon.
That was my first.
As was Brian Kilby.
And JD. Pardon me, John. John was there.
Yeah,
John was there. So, yep, yeah, that was like the first and only BotCon I went to.
I was still in diapers.
Oh, you're not serious.
Still in diapers now. What?
Oh,
damn it, JD.
That's a medical
Wait,
condition.
I had to think. I'm like, yeah. How old is Peter?
It's a medical condition.
Yeah. Yeah, BotCon, that was really one of the, I guess, seminal moments of my fandom. life. So I was first exposed to the world that was the Transformers fandom, mm-hmm. and that was an old school BotCon. That wasn't like one of the new BotCons where it's kind of hip and trendy. This is where it was hot and it stank.
Yeah, and there was two. We only got two exclusives. We only got the Tigatron and the RC. That was it. The two things that I definitely won't forget, I mean, I had a great time. I went there with Heath and I got to meet Dak Roland and Jeremy from that helped us out in Cold Hard Slag. But the two big things I remember is giving Michael Bell a swoop and him wanting to make sure that it wasn't like a dildo. This was at the panel, by the way. Oh. And then during the panel, when he got the question about being a voice actor...
He plugged Cold Hard Slag.
He plugged us at the beginning, yeah. But when he was talking about being a voice actor, someone had asked that, he basically said that if you have a great voice but don't know how to use it, it's like having a 10-inch phallus that you aren't get wrecked. So...
And everybody nodded their head knowing it.
Yeah, that's exactly what everybody did.
I think I recorded that, and that I'm certain there's a policy against it, but I don't think that 3H really thought that anyone would record it and post it on the internet.
Oh, my God. It was so hilarious. So there's great stuff at that convention.
I am pretty sure that that whole exchange is on that RFC from that week. I should probably go back and post that. I'm certain.
Yeah. Oh man, that would be awesome!
Yes, I'll after New Soundwave, I'll go ahead and look for that and see if I can link to it. Maybe put it in the podcast version. That was awesome. Yeah. So, okay, so this week our topic is
here we go.
Transformers as an addiction. So, our pal Jesse, aka Matrix Prime, from TFWire.com. He posted a blog entry equating Transformers collecting to an addiction, and it actually caused a bit of a stir on Twitter this weekend when some of our friends were conversing about it. And JD and I were talking, and I think we both look at this in basically opposite ways. So let me throw it out to you guys. What do you think? John, we'll get the chat reaction to this as well. What do you think is collecting an addiction? Can it lead to an addiction? What do you think?
Jamie? I'll wait to rant. You guys go first.
Okay.
It depends. So, I mean, it's like a complicated question. For me, it depends. I think probably some people I know are somewhat addicted to it. I guess, isn't like the classic definition of an addiction is something that you keep doing it even though it is harmful to you or the people around you in some way. So I don't know if it's harmful. I wouldn't say it's harmful, but it's certainly...
You do it until it's harmful, I think.
Yeah, it's certainly... it like affects their lives. So I mean, like... and no offense if this is the case for anybody out there. So, I mean, I know people who have Transformers from floor to ceiling in almost every room of their house. Like, that's a degree of collecting that's a little bit far beyond, I would say, your normal collector.
Does it,
that's
does
like
it a, impede a, their life? Does
yeah,
it cause problems?
I mean, yeah. I mean, so at that point, yeah, I think you are starting to talk about I wouldn't call it an addiction, just like blanket statement, but it's certainly like an extreme commitment to collecting. So you'd have to ask that person, I mean, are they okay or are they comfortable with missing, a toy or two, a mold or two, or are they an absolute completist? I remember when we were younger and there were less Transformers around.
It was easy to be a completist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who uses that word anymore? Really?
No, I don't even know who can do that.
I think there's a level of granularity when you talk about being a completist. Are you talking about as a whole at the high level, or are you talking about low level, like one character, like our very own Ender is a Transformer. He's an Optimus Prime completist. He has every Optimus Prime toy released, and he gets every mm-hmm. Optimus Prime toy released. But I don't know many people that could and do afford to buy all Transformers that come out. But there are people out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like my thing, and I kind of go back to what Jesse was writing about here. What he was trying to say, at least it seemed like to me, is that he's talking about how he got on to the whole deal about, you know, doing, trying to get the figure first and then getting the YouTube video out and then going with the responses. I'm assuming, you know, some of the podcast fell into that as well. And then, but the problem I have is that it generalizes it and then takes it into saying, well, because of that, it's an addiction, and then there's a lot of the people that have this addiction or whatever. And it's like, if you're doing it for the recognition and just for the recognition, yeah, I can see where that may become a problem for you because you're spending a lot of money to procure an item in order to be recognized for having that item. That's a completely separate thing from collecting something that you enjoy.
I don't think it is. I think it's the exact same thing.
Well, but I'm saying, like, if that's your hobby, whatever. But when it gets into the addiction range, and kind of like to what John was saying, when you get into that addiction range is when it's to the detriment of yourself, your life, your involvement. If you're charging up credit cards and creating a ton of debt in order to make these videos just to get the high off of the response, yes, that could be a problem. But there's plenty of collectors out there who fall in the mid-range, who collect responsibly, collect because they enjoy it. They don't give a crap about recognition. They don't care about, you know, who knows what they have and what they don't or whatever. That's not what it's about.
I don't think that it's – I don't think it's – I think Jesse's specific instance was the recognition. But I know that I will want something. I'll want something – and I won't be able to really give a good reason for it. I just know that I want it. And no matter how expensive it is or what little sense it makes for me to want it, I will want it until I get it. And it relieves – it's like there's a pressure, like in here. And I'll – in my head for the people in the podcast, I'm pointing at my head. It's like saying, get it. You need it. Get it. Get it. Get it. And it's like a fix. And I get it, and okay. I want it, and once I get it, I feel better for a little while until something else comes out, and then then it happens all over again.
Yeah, and I can see where that can be a problem, especially if you're charging up credit cards you know, obsessing about it in such a way as to cause a problem. Yes, that's an addiction, but that's not a general thing amongst the fans, because what happens again in this article is that gets, like, generalized to say, you know, I had this part of this illness, therefore we're, you know, all of you that collect have this problem because you're just buying pointless plastic when you could be doing other things. Well, I could be doing other things, but you know what? I don't have kids. I don't have, you know, I don't plan to have kids. I don't have any other obligations other than the bills that I have. If I do this responsibly, you know, even this podcast, do I do it for the recognition? I would be lying if I didn't say, just a little bit. But would I do it to hang out with you guys every week, you know, even if we had hardly any listeners? Sure, because it's fun. I love doing it. I love talking about it. If that's an addiction, so sue me. I'm not hurting anybody or myself by doing that.
So we need to legalize podcasting is what you're saying.
We should legalize podcasting.
Because it's not hurting anyone doesn't mean it's not an addiction. Addictions that don't necessarily hurt you. I'm addicted to drinking water. You know?
Don't get me going down that road, because you know how I feel about, you know, I'm in favor of it all being legal. But, you know, that's a separate issue. But legality aside, this is a bit, you know, what we're talking about is this a detrimental addiction? I think to some people it can be seen that way, and it can be taken that way. I don't think that just because you are collecting means that you are addicted, because then that would be true of stamp collectors, that would be true of doll collectors, that would be true of any kind of collector.
Trying to get video
of my
collection.
You just have to replace the term collector with addict. And I don't know that people would be comfortable with doing that.
Addiction. This is the face of addiction. So... heck, actually, for that sake, look at this. I don't normally do this, but look at all this stuff.
That's yeah,
cool. it's like Crips.
It's addiction.
It's like, yo, Transformers Crips.
Okay,
and it's all tied to Transformers. There's nothing involved here that isn't tied to Transformers. Am addicted. I buy stuff when I really should. It's completely unreasonable for me to do it.
Addicted to Transformers.
I'm addicted to Transformers. Back, and it's not just buying stuff. So back when I first got really into Transformers, back in the mid-1990s, when I got access to the internet, I was a teenage boy. My hormones were running crazy. But what was I spending my time with? Every free thought was about Transformers. It was like, well, let me think about this series. What would this character do in this situation? Or I wonder what happened. What caused this character to do this? Or I really wonder what happened in this Japanese series that I've never seen before. I need to read up on that. If my brain was a computer, I would have one of those distributed computing programs that would be every free cycle would be running a Transformers program on it. It's not just the spending, it's the time, it's what you put into it. It's the emotional investment that you make. And I'll admit that I'm totally addicted. With Rob. Rob was unemployed for about a year, I think, and, you know, drawing unemployment, and Rob still managed to get most of the stuff that came out. it's easy. It's an easy pit to fall into, and I have an addictive, personality. I tend to become obsessive and compulsive about things, but just because I'm prone to that doesn't mean that the addiction's any less valid.
Well, and I'm not saying it's not. I guess, and that's what I'm trying to clarify. I am not saying that there aren't people who take it too far, who get addicted. But I don't think the generalization that's made in, and again, I'm trying to pull it from the post itself, which is basically to generalize and say you're all sick because you collect toys. No, I'm not. All right, I have a freaking budget. I don't have other responsibilities that I'm shitting because I'm buying toys. You know, this is my hobby. This is what I do with my free time. I'm not hurting anybody, and I'm not overspending or putting myself in debt to do it. So no, I'm not sick. I have a hobby. And if you can't do that responsibly and you do it in a way that's detrimental to yourself, to your relationships, to your credit, yes, you have an addiction. And it wouldn't matter if it was toys or drugs or, I don't know, thumb tacks or whatever it is that you collect. It's still an addiction that's a problem. It's not exclusive just because what I happen to collect and do and what others happen to collect and do is plastic.
I don't really think that his point exactly was that Transformers are an addictive substance. I think it was about collecting in general. He made that point. That's where it started out. What collecting is and what collecting does. And for him, the addiction was Transformers. And for me, the addiction is in one major capacity is Transformers. And it's been that way for God, nearly 20 years. Peter, you haven't really chimed in yet. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think I agree with what JD was saying. Is that I think it was. For him personally, then that is a great, the fact that he was able to kick the habit, that's great. But I think him saying that a person who collects Transformers as being an addict and an addiction, that's very generic. And that's very, that's a problem, I think, is nowadays that a lot of people in society generalize certain people as a whole group. Like, oh, you're old and you play video games. Well, you must live in your parents' basement and you must not do this and you must do that, right? And it's quite obvious that most gamers have a job and they have a very successful life. They have a very they have kids, they have family, they play games with their kids, or they play by themselves or something like that.
The average gamer is an average person.
The average gamer now, the average age is 37 years old, right? Or something like that. And I feel like the way he generalized that people who collect Transformers are addicts. That all depends on your actual personality. It depends on how addictive of a personality you have, right? So it's, I collect Transformers, okay. and I'm addicted to it. But that means you have in general, right? That's also a factor. It's not that I collect Transformers, I'm an addict. I used to collect Transformers. I was not an addict. I bought toys once in a while. I like this toy, I'll buy it. I never went for the completionist. I never did anything like that. I just bought it because I liked the toy. And I got out of it because I said, you know, oh, I cannot afford right now. Like JD said, he's able to set money aside to buy a toy once a month or every couple months, whatever. He's able to treat himself. But when I got out of, or I just didn't have the money to obligate to buy these toys. You know, the money that I could have spent on the toy, I could fill up my gas tank or buy a week's worth of groceries at that time. You know, I just started my job and I didn't have as much money. So I think people get into collecting for various reasons. Like Ender and Jack, they both collect primes. They love collecting Optimus Primes, right? I just don't think it's right that he said, you know, you collect Transformers, you're an addict. And he said, oh, I talked to other people and they believe that it's also an addiction.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, sorry. Yeah.
Who did you talk to exactly? Did you talk to, other Transformers fans who also, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
glazed over. He didn't say specifically, right?
Yeah, no validation in that point. It's just I talked to some people and they said this is true.
So it's like you could have talked to.
It's fine if he wants to say that's his own opinion, but I don't really care what some people that he doesn't name talk to. Said it's like, whether or not they agree with him.
So did you talk to a person who's also a Transformers addict? Or
talk to a psychologist even? Hey, there's a crazy idea.
A psychologist. Or are you talking to, you know, your I don't know, like his girlfriend who thought it was a very unhealthy thing?
Right.
How, you know, some people, it could be two, it could be five, it could be four.
I take Jesse's point as, you know, addictions manifest themselves in several ways. In my specific circumstance, in the specific circumstance of the people reading this blog, it happens to be Transformers collecting. And I agree with him fully. I was thinking back to, when was it 03 when Masterpiece Optimus was released, 03, 04? It was like, well, it's going to be $65 after taxes. I think I have $65 in my checking account. It may overdraft, it may not, but I really want that toy. I get paid in 4 days. If I overdraft, I can live on the macaroni and cheese in my cabinet.
But that is
addiction. Right, and that is the definite. Like, if you tell me that, I'm like, yeah, that's bad. That is an addiction. But
that is your personality in general, I think, though.
Right.
Because I also bought Masterpiece at that time, but I got a gift card. If I didn't get a gift card to Toys R Us, I wouldn't have purchased that toy.
Right.
Like, flat out. I would not.
And I'm not saying that I wasn't that guy. So let me clarify that. I'm not saying I wasn't that guy at one time in my collecting. Because when I was in college, yeah, you know, I had credit cards and more credit than I had since. And yeah, I did buy a lot of stuff that I couldn't afford. But now I'm not that guy. You know, now I've learned how to be responsible with my collecting.
I still have impulses, kind of like Masterpiece Rodimus. I shouldn't have picked that up, but I did. So, but I guess I've kind of moved it into areas where I'm not necessarily spending money. And it's less obviously destructive. Maybe I'm right now. If I have to say I'm addicted to anything, it's probably work because I've been pulling 14, 15 hour days every day for the last couple months, and
I
tend to do that. But if anything, if I can point to one thing I've really been addicted to over the last 20 years, it's been Transformers. Back when I started my first job, it was a part time gig, and I made about $5,000 a year. With credit cards and everything, I think I ended up spending $5,000 to $7,000 that year on Transformers.
Yeah. Right, but I think that that boils down to you as a person, right? I don't think it's because you are a Transformers collector that you are. It's an obsession and it's a drug. I don't think it boils down to the point that it's an overgeneralization of the people who collect toys.
Yes, and that's my problem.
And that's
flawed. Are there people in this fandom, are there people listening to this show that have a collecting issue that has become an addiction, I'll guarantee yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're hearing this and you are resonating with things Brian's saying, you might have a problem, and you might want to get that looked at psychologically. Yes.
Thanks.
But if you are being responsible with your collecting, if you, you know, if you have a significant other or whatever, and or you're even on your own and you're not starving yourself to death to buy toys, okay, that's fine. That's, I mean, that's just what collecting is. That's what a hobby is. Don't let somebody know what you do because they're mad at themselves for time that they spent doing something that they felt like was a waste of time. And I'm not saying that that's what Jesse's doing, but I'm saying it's not uncommon for people who are coming out of something. I've seen it before. I've seen it with online gaming. I've seen it with collecting. I've seen it with message boards. Anytime someone suddenly has an epiphany and they come out of it, they're like, "Oh, I have all this free time now, and it was taking up my life." Blah blah blah.
Well, it's like gambling, drugs. It's a coping mechanism. It's like like a relationship. You think back, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not with person X anymore because they were so terrible." And you overemphasize the downsides because it seems better because it makes you less likely to go back to that situation if you think it was awful.
Cognitive dissonance.
It's a way of
resolving the cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, exactly.
There had to be a reason that you wasted all of your time doing that, and it had to have been that it was an addiction or whatever. And maybe it was. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying to overgeneralize that, to apply it to the entire fandom, which is what it has been doing here. If you read it, it says collection, the fandom.
Yep.
It even suggests that they replace the toy customization class with a class on addiction.
I love that. I love that line.
I understand it's hyperbole, but, you know, come on.
And I understand what Jesse's relating to. I shouldn't have said, I think he classified, you know, I had a Transformers addiction.
Right.
Yeah.
What it said it drove him was his popularity, you know, the fact that, you know, people relied on him, right?
And because he had, it's like, if you go back to some of his YouTube reviews, I think one of them at least had like millions of views. I can understand being, you know, addicted to that.
But that's fine, but that's his, no.
It's his demon, yeah, of course.
I'm not trying to make it any lighter, but that's his problem.
Right. It's one thing to say, this was my problem, maybe you have this problem too, think about it, and, you know, here, you know, I'm trying to help you because you may have this problem too. I'm not saying everybody does,
yeah,
but I'm saying that some people might.
Okay,
that's not what you said.
I accept that. I just want to mention that I tend to go in the direction of obsessing over things. I'm the guy that lost 200 pounds in 7.5 months, so...
Right. Exactly. So yeah. I think he should have, I think instead of saying, you know, "Oh, it's an addiction," and I talked to a whole bunch of people and they believe that too. And
right.
I think he should have said, you know,
but
now's the time to reflect, to see, you know, what, if you do have an addiction.
Right. John, what are your thoughts, John?
Real quick, let me say though, let me give Jesse credit, because I know I've said some, you know, derogatory things. I give him credit for coming out and making the statement. Because it takes guts to actually come out and say, "I had a problem with this." So I don't want to take away from that at all.
Oh, no. So, I don't think he would take it that way. John, what are your thoughts?
I appreciate his views. I do appreciate.
Well, my thoughts would frankly just kind of echo what you guys talked about. The chat actually had a lot of good points. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of discussion. So this touched, I think, on a lot of nerves, because most of us can relate to it, obviously. I mean, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about how, you know, honestly, in the past, being a Transformers collector probably didn't force you to buy at the rate and the expense that it does now. So, you know, several years ago, being a Transformers completist didn't require, you know, the kind of extreme devotion that it does now, all the extreme money and the amount of toys it does now. So it was almost easier to not become, you know, not let this monster take hold. Now, you know, we talked about how, you know, like in the Unicron trilogy days when the line
exploded.
Oh, God,
I bought everything.
Yeah, I mean, that. But
God, I bought everything.
It forced a lot of people to stop buying everything.
Yeah.
So it kind of broke them from the habit. But for some people, it probably, you know, accelerated.
I dropped, like, I didn't buy everything for, like, the first 6 months or whatever, and I ended up buying everything at once. I dropped like $1,000 on stuff. Yeah. Addiction.
Dark days, Rob.
Yeah. So anything else on that?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, we were talking about, you know, just the explosion of the lines itself kind of add fuel to the fire, so to speak. But, you know, then we also talked about, you know, there are toys in our pasts that were kind of, I guess, symbols of desire. So, you know, Fort Max, we talked a lot about Fort Max. Fort Max was one of those toys that people went out of their way to get, or they couldn't just, you know, some people couldn't afford him. And so they kind of look back fondly or unfondly on missing out on him. And some people, you know, were much more rabid about getting him and ended up, you know, tracking him down or paying exorbitant amounts on eBay and kind of chasing him. And so there are certain like toys in our past that are kind of like lightning rods that kind of like, you know, demonstrate what, I guess, what level of collector we are or kind of how extreme we can get. So we talked a little bit about eBay and Fort Max. And then the last point was, you know, when it comes to quitting, like I said, some people got kind of priced out of collecting. And some people in the chat, you know, like Rack said, you know, just quit cold turkey. Like, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes you just have to like stop. And so some people just did that for no reason other than just, I guess, realizing, you know, I'm spending too much money. I'm taking too much time with this. I'm just going to quit right now.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good, good. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to this week's Crave Corner. We'll be back right after this.
It is time once again for the Crave Corner, as we do most weeks, and we're here again with Cole. How's it going, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So, tons of things going on over at Crave.
Lots of things happening.
Let's start. What's the feature this week?
This week we're featuring animated. So, a couple guys have already listed some new animated stuff, and we're going to be. There's always a, you know, we'll always have this. We have the special section in our forum posts and our newsletters for the featured listings. So if you've got animated stuff to sell, post it this week and it will get promoted by us.
Excellent. And that's a good deal. That worked out very well for me, actually.
Yes, it did work out very
well
for you.
Yes, got that Tigatron sold. So very nice. Now you have two contests going on right now, or two, or not
yeah,
a
two,
contest,
two
promotions. But promotions.
Yeah.
Very nice. What do you got?
Well, so our new buyer promotion was really successful in June, so we've extended it through July. So if you're new to Crave and you make your first purchase in July, you'll get $5 cash back from us. And then we're also doing something on the seller side this month. So if you haven't sold on Crave or you haven't sold up to three things, if you sell three things in July, you'll also get $5 back. And the best thing about that is it's still free to list. So sell your items, make a little money that way, then we'll give you a little extra.
It's extra money. Like so basically, price it to move, get it out, get the stuff sold that you're trying to get sold, and you're going to get $5 if you sell three things anyway. And it's so easy. Like, you know, my transaction went through, like, it was the crazy easiest thing ever. I didn't have that, like, doom and gloom like you get with, like, eBay, where it's like, you sell something, and then it's like, okay, fantastic, we're taking $30. No. You know, great, smooth transaction, really
well.
We're very
anti-doom and gloom and Crave. We don't like doom and gloom.
So very nice, very nice. What else? What else is going on?
And then we're also going to be coming out in the next couple days with our badge system and achievements for game mechanics. So you're gonna start like winning badges and achievements for completing tasks on Crave, commenting, sharing posts, like a whole slew of badges. And we're gonna be rolling like more out as the month goes on. Like we're gonna come out with our first initial launch set, and then there'll be more as time goes on as well.
Wow,
we're pretty excited. We're actually really excited about this one over here because we've been talking about it forever.
That's nifty. So maybe like, you know, for someone like me that has like most of my collection online, would there be things like involving like that, like as far as what I have, or is it more like participatory based?
So the first round of badges is going to focus on social interaction on the site. So commenting, voting on prices, sharing posts that are yours, sharing posts that are others. And then also like the scouts get their, like if you're on the scout team, you'll get a badge. And lots of, you know, there's lots of little tidbits. We also have a special badge called First Edition for people who like signed up for the very first version of the site.
Oh, nice.
So those folks will be getting a special badge since they've been with us since day one.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so I've heard a rumor. Comic-Con is coming up. San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes,
you might be there.
Oh, I will not personally be there, okay. But three of our staff are going to be in attendance. We couldn't get a booth this year. There's a very long waiting list for a booth at Comic-Con, actually. But we'll be there. We'll be walking around. We'll be wearing our shirts. We'll be chatting with people. And I'm a little jealous, but I thought I was going to be out of town during Comic-Con. It turns out that's not the case. But anyway.
No. Well, that's awesome. So that'd be great. Yeah. So if you're going to be at Comic-Con, there's your chance. Go check them out.
Yeah, definitely stop by and say hi. Aaron and Cabe, our CEO and CTO, will be there along with Matt, who also also works on the technical side of the site.
Fantastic!
So they're all fun, and stop by, say hi. It'll be good.
Nice. Well, if you have not, go to crave.com, check it out. Sell your Transformers, sell your Star Wars, buy your Star Wars, buy your Transformers. It's definitely the way to go. Lots of events going on. Please check it out. Cole, thanks again. We'll see you next week.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good one.
Stan Bush here, and I dare you to check out Radio Free Cybertron.
Hey guys, it's Rob, and this week I've got something kind of neat to show you guys. I was at the Dollar Tree buying stuff, and I ran across this in the coloring book section. T-Bots. Now I know what you're thinking. They have alternate lifestyles, but nope. These are the T-Bots. That's cheaper than saying Transformers because you have to pay a license. Now, you look at it and you're thinking it's just sort of a generic Transformers knockoff, and you're right, it is. But what makes this cool is the art is very, while some of it is just generic robots. Like, see that guy? And then you got cool stuff like that shark-looking thing. Then you get guys that look suspiciously like guys we all know, like, that's totally Tentacle with a different head. Or Skyla, or Syla, however you say her name, that's totally Tentacle with a different head. You know, we have that, look, check out, that's totally Mindwipe and Gigatron combined, style-wise. And, you know, that's all in this book. I mean, sure, there's generic robots like these guys. But then you got, you know, let me pull one up. That's kind of Six Shot. If you squint your eyes and push real hard. Some of them are really interesting note is, let me pull mine. It's kind of a laser rod. But, you know, just generic robots. It's mostly just generic robots. But some of these are a little too close to... I mean, check that out. That's totally animated Starscream. And that's kind of classics Ironhide with a radio dish, a radar dish. Check it out. It's totally Generations Cup. You know, that one's kind of reaching, but it's totally happening. Let's see if I can pull some. See, generic guys. That's kind of like Scourge. With some liberties taken. At least I think so. Let me pull past some of these guys and show you the more obvious ones. There's a lot of weird animal robots in here too, which is fine. Like, so there's a spider guy, and here's like a cat looking thing. There's a lot of robots like that in here. Check it out. That's totally classics Ironhide with like a different head and a gun dustbuster looking thing and bitching flames. That's totally Ironhide. Yeah, that's totally crazy. And look, check, that's totally Hotshot from Armada. And that's a robot puppy being ran away by Shockwave's gun barrel. That one's kind of weird. I have to wonder, some of these generic guys look pretty cool too. Like, that guy looks like someone in the background of a UK, Marvel UK comic. And that guy, I kind of want a toy of him. That's kind of cool looking. You know, check it out. Connect the dots, and you've got G1 Seeker. Yeah, some of it's kind of shameless. You know, there's a lot of weird guys like that dude. I don't know what's going on there. But I check it out. That's like Leo Zack with bigger wings and a mouth plate. So it's like Leo Zack's brother, Leo Biff. There's a robot turtle. There's a lot of animals. And there's a girl Seeker with a different head and a missile fist. Totally all in here. I really like this guy. He turns into a shark, obviously, because of the shark mouth and shark tail for arms and a fin, but the rest of it's kind of just generic robot. But check out his face. He's like got a little fin. He's kind of like Skybite and Captain Shark combined. That's really fun. I like the robot kangaroo and the laser beak chicken hybrid. And check it out. That's totally Skyfire from the G1 cartoon with a different nose cone. I mean, some of this is shameless. I mean, it'd probably help if I point it at the page. Yeah, I see it's Skyfire. I'm still not pointing at it. There we go. That's Skyfire. That's crazy. You know, because of that, I'm going to go back to Ironhide and seriously, Girl Seeker. That's good. That's totally like Slipstream. I just realized that I didn't point very well. Leo Zach. Badass looking dude. The shameless Ironhide. You know, this book's mostly full of generic robots, but a lot of them are similar enough that it's like, man, that's close to legalities. But, you know, it's okay, dudes, because, you know, he totally had flames. Ironhide totally had flames, and he's a T-Bot, not a Transformer. He's a morphing robot, not a robot in disguise. It's different. It's cool. Don't sue us. There's no art credit on the book, but I can't wonder if one of you guys did this. Doesn't mean it's some of it's too close to for coincidence. Well, this is Rob. Thanks for watching. I never know how to sign off, by the way. But we'll send it back to the guys. Back to you guys. Your mom.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Yeah, I was playing around with Stitcher this past week. It's really cool. So you need to listen to us on Stitcher. Help get our numbers up.
Yeah, I actually started listening to our shows on Stitcher. It's fast. Like it is the fastest podcast player I have found on Android. Literally, pull up the show, hit play, it starts playing instantly, and I can skip ahead and stuff too. Most podcast players has to wait for it to download, but
yeah.
Boom, it's there.
What's sad is I use Google Listen.
Yeah, I use that too.
Yeah. Yes, it's actually really good, but
it's good, but not as good as Stitcher.
Does Stitcher have a queue thing? Like, can you use? Can you add stuff to the queue? Because
I don't need it.
I need it.
I can totally put the show in and start hitting play and hit play.
You stream it.
But when I play, because I'm underground most of the time, like when I'm actually listening to stuff.
Oh, okay.
I have spotty internet connection. But
there's a web version.
What's that?
There's a desktop version you can listen over the web.
Oh,
well, and it works through my firewall at work.
Even when you're traveling, though, you need it to download the show. Yeah, I don't know about that specifically. I'll have to look into that.
I don't know.
The firewall at my work may block. They block a lot of stuff.
Yeah, mine does too, but you work for the government, so...
Yeah, that's why they block it.
Yeah.
I work for a bank. You don't even have internet.
They even block Full Metal Hero. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, mine doesn't, so... Okay. Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts at work, and I don't want to show favoritism for anybody I know, because being a podcaster, I know lots of people that do podcasts. But I have to say, not counting all the like our podcasts or any of our friends' podcasts, I think my favorite podcast is the Judge John Hodgman podcast. It's flippin' hilarious, so...
Oh, really? I heard that was kind of funny.
Oh, my God. It's awesome. So you should go back and listen. There's only like 30 episodes. It's fantastic. So, okay. Let's go ahead. And actually, coming up next, we're going to do New Soundwave. John, what's going on in the New Soundwave this week?
Lots of good stuff. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit more about some genres that we don't touch on nearly enough. So we'll talk a little bit about Kingdom Hearts 3. Whoa, 3D and 3. We'll talk about StarCraft 2, DCU. And then we will get to know the newest member of the New Soundwave crew, the new Rob.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
Nice.
So, again, check us out on Twitter at TF Radio. Follow us. We're awesome. Our website is tfradio.net. There you can find RSC, New Soundwave, Fanboy Versus, which is like Gail Simone's favorite podcast.
Well, not favorite, but she likes it. She thinks we're funny.
Hey, she may be on later on.
She this month. I can't guarantee anything. It's possible.
Possible, okay. It's possible. Yeah. Superhero Time, 2099 Bitmapped, lots of great stuff. Outside the Cage, and there are probably more that I can't even think of, but they're good, I promise. So yeah, go check out tfradio.net, and again, go ahead and let me see if I can do this again correctly. Up here.
Oh, can I mention my avatar real quick?
YouTube,
almost
subscribe.
Forgot.
Yeah,
YouTube.
Go ahead.
Almost forgot. I want to say shout out to Cyber Crowley.
Oh yeah.
Twitter. So Sunday, totally on a freaking whim, as I'm like watching, I don't know, Power Rangers or something, I thought, wouldn't it be funny to have a cartoon avatar? And I tweeted that, and Stu from Old Oil House actually sent me a really funny one.
Yeah, I love that.
It was basically done in MS Paint and was really childlike and hilarious. But lo and behold, on Twitter yesterday, Cyber Crowley posted this amazing avatar that they made for me, which is like an animated version of me. You can see it on my Twitter feed at the JD Church. It's totally awesome. I mean, it is just flipping amazing. It is perfect. It is exactly what I pictured. Probably better.
I actually just brought up the Top Spin thing. I'm sorry.
So,
it's awesome. No. Look at that.
So, but I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It is freaking amazing.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention that I forgot about. We are on Google Plus, so go to Google Plus and look for Radio Free Cybertron. I'll link to it on the homepage. So if you want to connect with us in a new, awesome, innovative way, Google Plus. Okay, so that'll do RSC for this week. We'll be back next week. Thank you very much. Our usual crew will be back with XV and Lady Rex. She is on vacation in XV. The heart and ass of Radio Free Cybertron. He is just taking a week off. Oh. So we will see you next week.
Oh my God.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.